And you got married about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Coming up?
Wow.
Well remembered, eh?
Yeah.
I know. And for the past three, four years, you've been with Iris Ministries, particularly in Mozambique. So tell us about the last kind of 3 months that you've been in Mozambique. I know you've been leading on the staff team. What does that look like? What does that mean? Have you been encouraged? Duncan and I have a blog and updates, newsletters, so if you want to get that, it's always really encouraging to read. They're not that often, but when they come, they're gems. That's not a dig. Got other things to focus on, but just share a little bit about what you've seen of the Lord and
by. Good morning. It's great to be with you guys and to see some familiar faces and some not so familiar faces, which is always good news. And Ed said we're working with Iris Global, which is a missions movement headed up by Heidi and Roland Baker, probably about 20 years ago in Mozambique, and is now a global missions movement. And we have the real honor and privilege of helping to lead what they call Harvest School, which is 9 or 10 week long missions training schools. So we have kind of 200 to 250 students from around the world who come for 9 or 10 weeks at a time.
And when you say that, most of the time people probably will think that's kind of 18, 19, 20 year olds.
Yeah, real mix. So we do have like a few 18 year olds, but actually it's kind of all the way up to people. We've even had people in their 70s coming along, and a complete mix of single people, of married people, of families with children of all ages. So it is a complete mix of like all different nationalities. It's one of the most beautiful things. But we have the joy of doing that in Mozambique. Mozambique is currently literally living in the midst of revival. The gospel is being preached to the poor, and hundreds of thousands of people are receiving Christ. And the dead are literally being raised. The deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking. It's phenomenal. But also, it's really messy. I think actually that's really important sometimes to hear. Like when God is at work, I think we sometimes think it's going to be all clean cut and nice, but actually there's a lot of mess in the midst of it, and it's great fun, and it's such an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, just to share one story actually. Two schools ago, so we have two schools and they run, the first one starts from June till August, and then the second one is from October till December. And at the end of those schools, we send out teams to around 25 different nations all over the world. They go and they do outreaches all over the world.
Including Blackpool.
Including Blackpool and Sheffield.
Yeah.
And this next school is having one in Wales, which is really exciting. It's the first outreach in Wales. So we're very excited about that and about sending teams more to the UK as well. But just wanted to share one quick testimony from two schools ago, so the June school. Every weekend we send out the students that come, and we send three teams out into the bush, so out into these little rural villages around Mozambique, and we sent this one team out, and the general theme is you send a team out in the evening, they show the Jesus film in Makua or Makonde, whatever the local tribal dialect is, because a lot of the local people, especially if it's a village they've never been to before, don't really know who Jesus is or what he's about. So we show the Jesus film first, so they actually have an idea about who this Jesus is and what his life looked like. And then there's an altar call. We pray for people that want to give their lives to Jesus and any who are sick. And the following day, we send teams out around the village just to do door-to-door visits. And to sit with people and to spend time with people and to have that one-on-one time where they can actually explain more of who Jesus is. And we just see so many people giving their lives to him, so many people getting miraculously healed. But this one outreach at the start of the June school, they'd gone to this village and they were walking around the village and they just heard these wailing cries. And they decided to follow where the wailing cries were coming from, and they came upon this little hut with people kind of all gathered outside. And as they approached the hut, this guy walked out who they found out was the chief of the village. Each of these little villages, they have chiefs, they have like security people, they have like full kind of committees that oversee these little rural villages. And the chief had come out, and he'd come out after declaring a four-year-old boy dead. He was the imam as well. And he'd been in this house, and there was this little four-year-old boy who'd contracted malaria and had died. And the chief came round and had pronounced him dead, and he'd been dead some time, and his body was set in rigor mortis and started to really kind of clench up. And the team said, well, can we go in and pray for him? It was a Muslim family. And they went in and they began praying for this little boy. And they just began speaking life over him. And they began to see, he began to breathe and he came back to life. Wow. Which we've never ever seen on one of our outreaches. We've had stories of it all over Mozambique with the pastors and stuff praying. But this team, like there was Heidi Baker wasn't there. It was just people like us, just out in the middle of the bush, who had an opportunity, and they were like, well, we're going to go and pray. And so they began to pray for this little boy, and he came back to life, but his body was still quite stiff. But in that moment, his dad took off his cap and basically said to anybody in the hut, if they weren't going to believe in Jesus, they needed to get out of the hut. And the whole family gave their lives to Jesus. And as they did so, full movement came to this little boy, this little four-year-old boy. And they took him to the hospital. That's where they found out that he had died of malaria, but now wasn't dead. And it was just the most incredible testimony I think we've seen in our stories of kind of things that God has been doing in Harvest School. And it was just so awesome that it wasn't a big name speaker. It wasn't anyone. It was just some willing people who were just willing to go and pray where they saw need.
That's great. It's amazing. You've been leading the staff team with all these hundreds of visitors from all over the place. Mostly, I'm guessing, from kind of more westernized countries. What would be the thing that you kind of see as the biggest challenge to people's discipleship? I mean, they're saying, we want to set this aside a time, we want to come and immerse ourselves in that culture with that ethos. And we hear regularly about how significant the school is. What are the things that are the biggest challenges that you're seeing kind of generally with those people who are coming in discipleship, or things that they're holding back or have kind of not got the need that God needs to reshape in them?
It's really fascinating. I think a lot of people come because they hear about miracles and they're kind of intrigued and fascinated by that. But actually, I think the longer you're in that environment, the more you realize that the miracles are almost kind of like the periphery. Like, it's not the main thing. It's not the heart of it all. That actually, like, the heart of it is the fact that God actually loves you. Like, he actually sees you and knows you and cares about you. And the God who's created everything, who is holy and righteous, has given his life so that we can be with him for eternity. Like, we talk about it so glibly often and take it for granted. But actually, that is by far the greatest miracle. That is resurrection. Like, all the other miracles as signs and wonders, they're signs, they point to Jesus. And Jesus' life with him, the fact that we get to walk in relationship with him. And I think, honestly, the biggest both challenge, but also then the most beautiful thing of seeing transformation in people when they come through this process and come to the school is just seeing the reality of we're not just trying to jump hoops to try to get this God to do stuff for our benefit, for stories, or to look cool. Like, actually, we're being invited into this cosmic grand size romance with the creator of everything, and we get to have eternity with him. And seeing, like, we talk about it in our language a lot of the time, but it's we're not shifting, like, we're not pointing the finger at anyone. We're just as much part of this. But actually, our lives often reflect what we believe. What we speak isn't necessarily what we believe, whereas the way that our lives are lived out is an outworking of what we truly believe. And seeing the shift that comes when people really grab hold in their hearts of the reality of being an adopted son and daughter of the living God, and what that does to everyday living, it just brings complete freedom. You know, we meet people who are under the most intense persecution in some of the darkest places on the face of the planet, and they're the most joy-filled people you've ever met in your life. Like, stuff miserable missionaries, like, they are the most free people walking around the face of the planet. And for us, that's the wow, that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. That's why we're living, and that's what we'll die for.
Great. Thank you. We'd love to hear more, but you're preparing to head off to parts of Asia. What and why?
Yeah, so this time last year we found ourselves in Bangkok, and we actually found ourselves, it was a very supernatural divine appointment, we found ourselves opposite a man who most people don't know his name, most people don't know what he does, but he rescues children from trafficking. And God really supernaturally connected us with this man, and we just had the most amazing time of being sat and walking the streets of Bangkok with him, and our eyes were just opened so much to the trafficking that goes on in that nation. And our whole kind of, we've been to Thailand and Cambodia, God's taken us there quite a few times over the last 2 years, and every time has just opened our eyes to the level of darkness that lies in these lands that are kind of dubbed as the land of smiles. But there's just so much darkness, and there's so much hurt, and there's so much trafficking and evil that's going on under the surface in these nations. And the more we've been, and the more we've visited, and the more that we've worked alongside ministries in Southeast Asia, we've begun to see that you have ministries that are they're rescuing the children, they're rescuing the kids, or ministries that are working in preventative care, trying to stop children at risk from getting trafficked. And then you've got ministries that are going into the bars and working with the women. And then you've got all these kind of different facets of ministry. And we've just started to realize they're all amazing, but actually they're not changing the nations. And the only way the nation is going to change is just through radical encounters with Jesus, and the nation just being so transformed. Thailand and in Cambodia, the culture and the Buddhist religion is so much a part of what is keeping trafficking going, and what is even kind of setting parents up in those nations to sell their own children, because it's so rooted in the culture and in the religion of those nations that there just has to be, the nations have to come to Jesus, and they have to have a revelation of who he is. That's what's going to bring lasting change. And we just firmly believe that that happens through worship and through intercession. And so when we were in Thailand this time last year, God really planted a dream in our hearts to take a team out to Thailand and to Cambodia to just really worship and intercede for God to just bring huge shifts in those nations and for people to radically encounter him. And so that's what we're doing. We have a team currently of around 18 people who are kind of come with us. And we are traveling to 4 different locations in Thailand, mainly red light district areas and areas of trafficking. And we're partnering with organizations that work there on the ground, and some of them have prayer rooms in the red light districts. And in 2 of those locations, we'll be running 3 days of 24-hour prayer and worship, just continually interceding for those areas in the nation. And we're going into Isan, which is the east province of Thailand. When you walk into the bars and the strip clubs of Thailand, you talk to the girls there, probably 90% are from Isan. And so we really felt called to go. And so we're going to a city that's known as the Gateway to Isan, and just going to really, really pray and worship for God to just bring real shifts in the nation. And then we're going to Cambodia, and we're partnering with 2 Irish bases in Cambodia. They have a heart to just see trafficking eliminated in Cambodia, and just amazing vision. And we're just going to go and bless them and work with them.
And then we have a friend in Jordan who similarly has asked us to go and spend some time with him. So that's just the 2 of us then and 1 other friend. And to go and help. He has some Arab believers who he really wants to help record some of their worship and to get that out. So we're going to go and help them do that. And then to travel around some of the kind of biblical sites of Jordan. It sounds funny, doesn't it? Like, why are you just going and worshipping? Like, why are you spending all that money just to go and do that? Couldn't you do that in your room here? But we've just discovered, like, both biblically and through experience, of the real power of worship and intercession. And yes, it has to be matched with action, and it has to be manifested as well. But it begins in that secret place with Jesus. And we've just got story after story. You know, we were in a brothel in Cambodia just over a year ago. We hired the time of 10 girls. They came in, and who would have thought it? Amazing Grace was in a Cambodian karaoke bar. So we started singing that, and just the presence of God fell in that place. So it was just so interesting. As we worshipped, that's where the transformation and the shift came. And these girls started encountering Jesus. You know, we've driven through red light areas and just been worshipping and praying. And as we do it, people start manifesting without us even going anywhere near them or talking to them. You know, you can just see the spiritual warfare around. And just biblically, we fully believe it. You know, Ephesians, it talks about it was always God's intent that he would reveal the manifest wisdom of God through his church. Right, just think about that for a moment. The fullness of who God is, he wants to be revealed to the heavenly realms, to all the powers and authorities through us, the church. And it's as we declare truth of who he is that things shift and change. And it's not just a nice picture or a metaphor. We've seen the very real nature of the warfare that's there. So that's where we're going. And then we've been cheeky, and because we're in Jordan, we're taking a holiday to Israel as well. So that'd be nice.
That's okay. It's good. Do you want to say anything? No. Let's stand together, if you're able and happy to. We want to pray for you. Let's just go here. If anyone wants to come and pray around, Duncan, Anna, I invite you to do so. Thank you, Jesus.